No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
It's been a few weeks, but we are back on We Want Winners. Rod and I are here. And we just hung out in Vegas a few days ago, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, that was real nice to be able to see you.
I was at a little get-together held by Andreas Hale, who's an ESPN MMA and boxing writer. And Rod was around town. So I was like, hey, let's meet up. But we got to talk. We got to set this whole thing up. And I think the plan... we'll do this show. It'll be a little shorter than usual because we're going to come back sometime this weekend after the draft, and we'll talk about the draft and all the other things going on. And plus, the Warriors are playing tonight, so those of you who are watching us live, we don't want to bump up against the Warriors. And I also need to get to watching that game so Brian and I can talk about it tomorrow. But, a couple shows here, and then we'll sort of figure out the rest of our spring and summer. But OTAs are starting. Brock Purdy is still unsigned. Fred Warner and George Kittle are there, probably looking for new deals as well. So there's not, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we won't have, we won't have a bare cupboard of things to talk about. So let's talk about the draft, and it's kind of hard to kind of look further than the first round because that's where all of the mock drafts are. That's where all the coverage is. Now, Rod, I know you follow college football, and I'm not really watching tape, so I'm going to throw names out, but you're actually going to have some meat behind your analysis. And I've seen lots of different people mock to the 49ers. What it seems like to me is after the first four picks, everyone has a different opinion on what goes after that. And the Niners at 11, based on what I'm seeing, it's like they're about two picks too late to probably get the dealer's choice of what they want. What have you been seeing as you've been looking at this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it gets real murky because I don't know. It seems to me, and I'm always a little leery of national media and what their opinions, because they rarely jibe with what the reality is, it seems to me. I've been leaning a lot on the Mats to give me their insights. And it kind of jibes with what, the needs are, they're obvious. There's on both sides of the offensive, on the lines of scrimmage, tackle, guard, we could use a center. And then we basically need to rebuild the entire defensive line. So from the looks of the pundits, offensive tackle is not very deep in terms of top flight talent, and it looks like we are probably going to miss out on, you know, the closest thing to a can't miss, and even he's getting flat because of the length of his arms, is Will Campbell. I doubt he'll be there at 11. People are saying he won't get past the Patriots at 4.
Yeah.
So, then you've got defensive linemen. They're apparently edge is really deep and defensive tackle is pretty deep, which is good for us because, you know, we need several of each, honestly. Heard Will Johnson's name. He's coming off an injury, though, which is always kind of a red flag to me. But apparently Saleh likes him. And if I think, you know, I would say it should be a lineman either on either side of the ball. But if Saleh believes that Will Johnson is a multiple time all pro, then I guess you make that pick. Then you hear people talk about receiver, which I just think is crazy that high. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't take another receiver at some point.
No, they will probably. I don't think Shanahan escapes the draft without taking at least a receiver or a running back, and maybe both.
And then the same thing with Tyler Warren, a tight end. Again, I know George is getting up there in age, and I'm not saying, again, they've shown a proclivity to draft multiple tight ends, but I just can't see it at 11. I mean, that would be really crazy, I think. Because, I mean, George seems like he's still got a lot of meat on the bone, but I know that he wants to get paid, which I guess we'll talk about on the other side.
Did you see the Rossini tweet that he responded to?
Yes.
So
I did.
Diana Rossini writes in her tweet, Brock Purdy's appearance at 49ers OTA's positive sign as extension talks continue. George Kittle's absence is also contract related, sources say, and the two sides remain far apart. And in the little graphic, it says Kittle wants to become the NFL's highest paid tight end. And so George responds to Diana saying your source is incorrect. So I guess what's incorrect is that his absence is contract related. And what it sounds like is he was going to be absent on the first day, but then be there shortly after. So that may be what he thinks her source is wrong about. So it may not even be about the contract.
I doubt she's wrong about him wanting to be the top paid tight end. No, I don't want to be that.
Exactly.
Of course he does.
Exactly.
Of course he does.
It's funny. It's pretty funny, the whole thing. So, okay, I wanted to look at this from three different directions. We'll make our predictions for who the Niners will get here in a second. I don't imagine a trade up happens, though I can imagine a trade down happening as I'm seeing some of these predictions on the board as the mocks have come out this last week. But on the rare occasion, actually, it's not a rare occasion. Niners traded up for Trey Lance. But in this instance where they need more depth, they need more picks rather than just needing one player. On the rare instance that they do trade up, who do you think would be on their radar for a trade up?
And that's where it gets interesting. Is like, okay, if you're going to trade up, how far do you trade up? Are we talking about two or three spaces, which puts you in the 10 to 7 range, where you might be able to get, I just don't think Campbell will be there. And that, to me, it would make sense. If you're going to trade up, you're going to try to get Will Campbell.
Right.
But I don't know if they can get up high enough to get him. And then at that point, with the situation with all the picks, you know, all the positions they need to fill, they need more picks rather than less picks. And I just don't know that from what I'm seeing, that there would be anybody, because they're not going to get up high. Let's be real. They're not going to get high enough to get Hunter or Carter.
Sure.
And that's just, that's crazy. but you would definitely, I would definitely, if I could assure that I would get one of those guys, or I could get up to two or three, I'd definitely do that. But it just doesn't seem to me that getting up three or two or three spots, that the difference between, you have to have a really, really strong feeling about that player you're going to get. But when it seems like there's not much difference between a lot of those guys, like the edges, I mean, you do that for an edge, but I'm going to give you my pick when we get to it. But I just think that all those dudes have, like, kind of, they're kind of interchangeable almost, and have warts.
They all have a deficiency.
Right. That I don't know that I'm giving up depth of a depth in a draft that is supposed to be deep to get one of those guys. I think you do that if you just believe this dude is a future multiple time all pro, you trade up for that. But if it's not that, I don't see it. I just don't see it.
So the guys that, if we just look at the kind of, you know, kind of the big board here, Abdul Carter, there were worries about injuries. That seems to have subsided. I'm not hearing him dropping past three in most of the latest stuff. Like you said about Will Campbell and his arm length, that is more, I think, if the Pats are like, hey, let's trade down, you know, and get another pick somewhere, that could happen. What about Mason Graham? I've seen Mason Graham go from like five range all the way down to being available for the 49ers. So it seems like there's a window with someone like Mason Graham. And Mason Graham, what you like about him is he's just like, as you'd expect, he's just solid all the way around. Would the Niners move up if they saw him possibly get down to like 8 and 9 and then possibly be available for them?
He's another one, though, that there are, size concerns. Again, this is the shit the stuff we talk about, we never talk about any other time. But arm length, you know, places they say that his arm length places him at the 26th percentile among defensive tackles, and that, you know, shorter arms obviously can, you know, hinder your ability to disengage from, you know, long limbed offensive linemen. And then he really wasn't much of a pass rusher at Michigan. And that is something that, you know, you'd like to have. But, you know, so again, but it's like all of those dudes have some sort, if you're looking to pick at them, and I strive to just look at the tape, and it looks like he was always one of the best defensive linemen for Michigan. And it's not like he was one of the best defensive linemen at Appalachian State or someplace, mm-hmm. which is another, like somebody like Mike Green, who, outside of the fact that he's, you know, there, some teams don't have him on the board because of, I guess, off the field stuff, the fact that he, you know, put up those guardy numbers at Marshall is kind of, you know, could be seen as suspect. So I don't know, but again, it's like we're at the point now where everybody has nitpicks, if that's what you're into. So yeah, who do you like at 11?
So let's actually, I want to look at one more player, or actually two more players. So Membu is another tackle who looks like he's probably going in the top 10. And then you have Walker as a linebacker who may not really fit the 49ers scheme. So as much talent as there might be there, that might not even be something that they would value. And then you talked about the edges, and you got guys like Stewart and Williams and Green who were all just not, I don't know if they're falling down the board, but they're just kind of jumbled together. So it's, I'm starting to see them kind of be available when we weren't sure if they were gonna be available. So if they were gonna trade up, it would seem like if they saw someone like Graham falling, that could be interesting, or one of the tackles falling, like you mentioned. But on the opposite, if they were gonna trade down, it would probably be because someone like Jinty was falling and a team wanted to get to 11 because he was falling to that spot. I don't know if that's happening either, but it would have to be something like that, I think, because I think if the Niners are in the late teens, they probably can still get one of those three or four edges that are going to be available. If they traded down, what would you think that they would actually look for?
And again, I guess it would depend on like how far down would they even be willing to trade down? I mean, how far, you know, from 11 to what, the mid teens to 20s? Mm-hmm. I think that it would show you a lot as in terms of what they feel about the depth of this draft if they were to do that. Because it's always been my thought that, you know, not even my thought, it's just statistically proven that the top 15 produces more all-pro players in a draft than all the rest of, historically, than all the rest of the draft combined. Mm-hmm. It's just, they're highly concentrated
right
in the top 15. So if you are a team like I imagine the 49ers still see themselves as a team that doesn't plan to be trafficking in these, you know, picks this high, I think it's important that you take a swing at trying to get the best player in the draft when you get the opportunity, rather than stockpiling value picks, which again, I see the efficacy of that, but I think if you fashion yourself a contender, a difference maker is more important than a bunch of low spades, you know, using a card parlance. You'd rather have a big joker. You'd rather take a chance of getting a big joker than having a bunch of low spades, I would think. Unless you just don't feel that there's a big joker where you're at. And then, you know, you might be willing to trade back. But like I say, you look at all these guys like Mimbo, he's a guy who really didn't do much until his junior year, which always kind of scares me. Who else? Stewart, who is a physical freak, but, you know, who draws comparison not only because of college, but because of his athleticism to Myles Garrett. But then when you look at Myles Garrett's college production versus his college production, there's just no comparison, which leads you to believe that with all this ability, why the hell can't he produce at the college level? Which is always scary to me,
right?
You know, to think that a guy, that the light is going to come on against the best players in the world all of a sudden, which would just scare the death out of me. And then the same thing with, and I strive not to be like, you hear people talk, like say things that I think are stupid, like who did we draft? There was somebody they were talking about that South Carolina, whoever's coming out of South Carolina, since we whiffed on Kinlaw, that like South Carolina should be off the board. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. What does one have to do with the other? And my answer to that was, okay, well, TDP stunk. So now LSU was off the board.
Yeah, and, right.
You know, it just doesn't. Ambry Thomas flamed out. So Michigan. So that takes Graham out of the equation because he went to Michigan. It's just dumb. But, you know,
didn't Debo go to South Carolina?
He did. That's absolutely. that kind of worked out. So yeah, it's one of those things where I think if this process just goes on for so long that you can talk yourself into and out of just about everybody.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting to see which way they go. Like I saw that. I think I mentioned Joe in our conversation that I saw B-Rose he's convinced that it's going to be a defensive lineman for sure.
Right.
That it's not going to be an offensive lineman or a corner, that it's going to be a defensive lineman with that first pick. So, I mean, I don't know him and Mayoko. Sometimes it's like weird to me because sometimes Mayoko doesn't seem like he like has any more access than I do sometimes. But you know, it, as a difference to like somebody like Silver, you know, who clearly is like entrenched and is like the press secretary,
yeah.
Or like Papa says things that let you know that he couches it as an opinion, but that he's got.
It's get fed, yeah.
That lets fed. You know that that it's well vetted.
So, a ruler of the red zone chimed in. I asked what they thought. They thought that we should trade back to 20 or 22 and use that for Nolan or Grant. So Nolan would be Walter Nolan, the defensive lineman from Ole Miss, and Grant would be. The Kenneth Grant, the interior defensive lineman from Michigan. Those would be his picks. It doesn't look like Nolan will last that long. Mm-mm. Yeah. I think the Niners would probably have to stay put if they're going to get Nolan. Grant would, just like Ruler of the Red Zone said, would be available around that spot.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
All right, Rod. So now you get to play the prognosticator here. Who do you think is going to be available for the 49ers to pick? And I will say this. I know John Lynch, I think it was John Lynch, said he believes there are 20 first-round 20 players who are draftable and have first round talent. And I forgot the, I think he said there are 50 players who they believe will be able to come in and play for them. So there, he believes in the second and the third round, there will be players for them to draft who will be able to come in and play some quality snaps for the 49ers. So that tells me that maybe this first round selection is a little bit closer to the talent level of some of the later rounds, but maybe that they all can play. So it's kind of an interesting way to think about it. So all that being said, Who's your pick for that 11 slot?
Okay. I had worked my way to Mimbu after all of my trepidation about him like just having a breakout season in 24 with his athleticism and his, you know, people who in the know say his technique is good. The problem I see with him is that he's only played right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seemed to me that if they were drafting, and right tackle is a nice thing to have, but it seemed to me that they were looking for somebody who could bump over once Trent is gone. Although you need two. I mean, if you got McKivitz, that's not a bad pick. And then I like Pierce, James Pierce from Tennessee at edge. He would be a candidate. And then, as you said, Nolan at tackle. And if it were my pick, I would take Nolan.
That's what I was leaning as I was digging through. And it was more so because, you know, it's funny when you watch the mocks, as we've been watching them pretty much since the end of the season, a lot of the guys who were much higher in the mock, like Derek Harmon, in previous mocks at the end of the season, he was kind of in the Niners range. And now you see him drop a little bit for whatever, you know, whatever. All these guys have a reason or else they'd all be the number one pick. And then I saw Larry Krueger, who, you know, some fans don't like Larry. But when I was at KMBR, Larry had just come out of scouting for the, I believe it was the Arizona Cardinals. And like one of the first days that I was at KMBR, it was just like a weekend. And a lot of times on the weekends, the only thing going on is Giants baseball. So you got to watch Giants baseball and the, you know, the guys who are going to come on air after the Giants game, they're just kind of hanging around. And Larry would actually get into a defensive back stance and show us the footwork of how you wanted your defensive back to backpedal and then cross over and then go. So like Larry knows what he's talking about. And he said, Barron, the defensive back from Texas, but you look at some of these mocks and the, you know, he's later in the first round. So it's kind of crazy to see where all these people are falling. But yeah, I would say Nolan, unless some of these edge guys that seem to be falling a little bit are just guys that the 49ers love. Like if it's Stewart or Williams, like, the Niners just may be locked in on one of those guys if they're there. And if they believe that the talent near the end of the first round is kind of like second round talent, then maybe they do just take a guy that they like early and then worry about some of the other folks later. So that's kind of an interesting thing as well. But I kind of sit where you sit, because that's what Barros ended up with today when they did the Athletic mock draft, is a lot of the guys that he would have liked to take for the Niners, it just ended up that Nolan was the right guy for him.
Yeah, I mean, that is, you know, we just had such a hard time, you know, when AA was there, when Eric Armstead was there, putting somebody next to him. And then since he's been gone, we just, you know, I just think if you can solidify that the middle, you know, get one player at least that you can count on in the middle to go along with, he's not quite a bookend because, you know, he doesn't play outside. But if you could get somebody inside to go along with Nick, that would be a good place to start in terms of rebuilding that defensive line. Jahad Barron is interesting. The thing, again, another one, the thing about him is he played mostly in the slot at Texas, which slots just don't, you know, they don't make big money, which, again, for me, if you're going to pick a guy 11 or in the top 10 or 15, what you're looking for, I would be striving to look at those positions where the money is huge, you know, because theoretically, you know, at corner, or I guess even now, hell, receiver, I guess you could make that case, quarterback, edge, are guys that if they are standouts, you rarely get a shot at those guys in free agency. You just don't. I mean, though, you know, the top tier corners and well, obviously quarterbacks and edges are rarely cap casualties. You just don't see those guys get in a way that the Bengals eventually ended up signing my guy, the other receiver. But you rarely see it even get to that point with top tier free agents. So if you could get one of those guys in the draft that, you know, you think is going to be a 10-12 year player, you know, that's going to be in the mix for max contracts, it'd be best to get him in the draft. You know, so I think that Nolan could fit the bill there for the Niners.
Okay, so if the Niners do go as we expect, they could go offensive line if certain pieces fall, I think. But if they don't, and it's really just their pick of defensive line players who are available, I kind of wonder, because if you look at some of these mocks and you look at some of these big boards, there are some tackles that are kind of in like the mid 20s to the late 20s to the early 30s. Like you look at someone like Simmons, who could go like at the end of the first round.
I love Kelvin Banks, but everybody, you know, the pundits that know, they all say that he's a guard in the NFL. I watched his college career, and I thought he'd be a perfect tackle for us because he can move. He measured out. The big thing coming in was that everybody said he wasn't 6'4", but that didn't turn out to be the case.
Right.
But again, everybody seems to think that he's a guard and not a tackle. So I'm going to defer to that, I guess. But I would love to have. I've always thought that dude would be a good get.
And he may be available for them. Like, he's right in that range, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, but if they do lean defensive line, I wonder if they could trade up, because they pick again at 43. And I wonder if they are thinking that, you know, they could get into the, you know, the 30s or something and find somebody and just go offensive line there, or, you know, they probably want to tackle. So that is where I think there could be a trade up. Not that I've seen that or heard that, but it just seems like there might be some players who could fall that they may want to pounce on that that would be interesting for them.
Peter Schrager was saying that those teams, you know, 28 to 30, like Baltimore and Philly, are actively looking to trade back. So
to get out.
So there will be, but then he was talking about that in relation to, teams like the Browns and the Giants, if, you know, Shadur, you know, and Jackson Dart fall, that, you know, those teams could be looking to trade back up into the first round to get those players, and those teams down there might be, would be amicable to that. So, yeah. So, but that doesn't mean that doesn't apply to the Niners if they were of a mind to try to get back up there because they saw something they liked. I'm sure they would take their calls too.
Yeah. So the question that I was going to ask you before we move on to Brock was about Shadur. Now, I've seen a couple of, I've read through a couple different mocks today. Gosh, who was the, I forgot the guy who did the other one, but I'm looking at the Ringer's one. The Ringer mock draft, I think this might be a Danny Kelly mock draft. No quarterbacks after Cam in the first round. So not even Jackson Dart or Shadur Sanders in the first round of his mock. Now, the other one that I read had Dart going 18 and I think Shadur going, 21. Which is kind of wild that one mock draft has one quarterback and the other mock draft has three quarterbacks going in the first. Where do you think Shadur falls to?
I have a history tells me that this is all smoke screens and that if you get past nine, if we get to nine and the Saints don't take a quarterback, that it's going to be a I don't see both Dart and Shadur sliding completely out of the first round. Mm-hmm. That if they, I think, you know, everybody says that the Saints is a tipping, is a pivot point, mm-hmm. but then the Steelers also are a pivot point. I don't see the Steelers not taking a quarterback. So that would give you two at least. And then, you know, with what Schrager was saying, I think that you could easily end up with, you know, two more if you get, you know, you get to 12 and there's somebody that is just really has a hard on for Dart or even Milroe, that they might just come up to the first round just to get that fifth year. Because that's what he was talking about, is that, you know, most guys, if you like a quarterback, you'd much prefer to have 5 years to deal with, especially if you're a good team. 5 years to make a decision rather than what amounts to three before you have to decide. Because like we see with Brock, this is his, he's going into his fourth years, but right. the extension time comes at three for those 4 year guys. So yeah, that I just think, you know, when people say that there aren't, you know, I was watching Get Up this morning, and Schefter kept saying that there, you know, there's a consensus that there are five quarterbacks, but there aren't five teams that need quarterbacks. I just don't agree with that. I don't think that there aren't, you know, there aren't 32 teams that are happy with their
yeah.
quarterback position, that they would not, if they felt that that guy, whoever, Shadur or Dart or the kid from Louisville or Will Howard, if they believe that that guy is their, could be their future, I don't think that their starter is as entrenched. Like you look at places like the Raiders or Seattle, where you got Darnold and Geno. I mean, having those guys definitely aren't the reason that you would, if you really like a quarterback, that you wouldn't draft him. Oh, right. You know, we got Sam Darnold. So
that is a reason to draft a backup.
Right. Right. So I just think that you could easily see a run of teams kind of draft moving up, because the other alternative is, like, you know, Schefter mentioned, is that what could end up happening is you get a run at the top of the second round. But then if you're somebody who feels like you don't want to play that game with the Browns and the Giants, if you could just hop up in back into the first round, you would just do that to kind of leapfrog them. I could easily see that happening.
All right. So let's end this part one of this week's shows with a Brock discussion. Brock is still unsigned, but he is at the OTAs, which tells folks that things are moving along probably well. But we also know that his preference was to get everything resolved by this week. And it is not. Now, this week is, there's nothing really about this week as far as physical activities. Do you sense that they are close? And do you think, you know, by the time they actually get to doing some physical stuff, that Brock Purdy will have signed his deal?
I just don't trust Parag. I don't trust him to get it done, and I don't trust Jez's leadership to force his hand in getting it done. It's just, when was the last time one of these dudes signed before July? If it was ever going to happen, I would think it would be with Brock for a lot of different reasons, because the number that it looks like his team wants is not crazy at all. I mean, $55 million is about right. We're talking, that's the Tua, Jared Goff, who else? It's not quite to Burrow and those guys, but I mean, it just seems like that's not a crazy ask. It would seem like if that really and truly is the number, I mean, what are we doing? I mean, I'm not here. I'm not going to argue anymore about whether or not Brock is a top 10 quarterback, because that, honestly, if we know anything about signing these contracts, that has nothing to do with it. That really, you know, because look at the list. Is Trevor Lawrence, who's number 4 on the list, is he a top 10 quarterback? Absolutely not. Is he better than Brock? Absolutely not, based on production. Tua, same thing. I mean, he's a real accurate dude, and when he's healthy, I mean, you can win games, but I just don't look at him and see that he's better than Brock.
Yeah.
Jared Goff to me is not better than Brock. So when you talk about him being top 4, top 5 in salary, that doesn't seem out of line.
Right. So I am going to make a prediction. I don't think the Niners can have the same amount of PR disaster that they had last year. Now, you're talking about not in Brock, in Fred, and in George Kittle. You're talking about 3 of maybe the 5 most popular players on the team. Now, I'm not saying all these guys are going to get everything that they want, but I think I think Jed is going to have to push some money up and make these guys happy. And maybe the length of these deals leans a little bit closer to the 49ers leverage, but the guaranteed money that it costs for them to take those years off to make those last years, you know, cuttable or whatever it is. However, the cap, you know, the cap caponomics works for Parag's sake. But I think after last year, after trading Debo, after Ayuk gets hurt, after the 6-11 season, after letting Greenlaw go and then trying to beg back into the deal, at least publicly, after the disaster that was this offseason, they need goodwill, man, and they're not going to get goodwill if they screw around with these 3 guys and all of a sudden the PR and the marketing around the team is negative again. So I think Brock will get done, I think, in these next 2 weeks. And I may look foolish at the end of this, because like you said, Parag is Parag. He's like anti-PR. Like, he doesn't give a crap. That is not his job. His job is to, you know, maybe win the deal for the 49ers or something, you know, make it harder on these players, whatever that is. But I may be a little naive. I say they get it done in 2 weeks.
Well, that makes sense for cooler heads to prevail, for somebody like Jed to overrule him and say, hey, yo, get this done. Because you talk about, you know, we're talking about austerity measures. Jed, you know, says that. But when you look at each one of these deals in the micro, how do you not pay George? How do you not pay Fred? How do you not pay Brock? I just don't see how you are able to pull that off, that you're gonna squeeze. I just don't see how you squeeze those dudes, you know, particularly those dudes. And that's why if you're Brock and Fred, and then I guess George, he shows up tomorrow. But again, I'm not one who trips over you not coming to the job while you on vacation and shit. Yeah. I mean, for voluntary meetings and shit. Right. Out of here. What are we talking about? I'm not one.
I was hanging out with George at WrestleMania last weekend. That's where George was.
And what does that, you know, and again, it's like, you know, we do this character thing with, because Brock is a professional. That's why he showed. Man, get out of here. So not showing up. So anybody who doesn't come off a vacation to come to work is not a professional. Do you? I know when I worked a job, I didn't go up in there on vacation. I forgot where that place was. I had to use GPS to get back to work when it was time to go back, going in there on no vacation. So again, I see, you know, it's a smart play for Brock and Fred and George, all of them to take the high ground.
Unfortunately for the quarterback. The quarterback, if you are the leader of the team, you kind of have to lead by example there. But guess who never answered his phone during these times? Jimmy G. You on silent, my friend.
He was in Vegas too on his vacation. He hit the Spearman Rhino. Jimmy has a huge reputation here. In Vegas nightlife. Jimmy is the dude. So yeah, answering his call. He looks at the phone and sees Kyle's number. He sends that to voicemail. I'm just talking to this dude for what? But yeah, I think that you know, the idea I've been forwarding, which I know the team would never agree to, is, I mean, I'll take your 55 for 3 if I'm Brock, mm-hmm. but then you got to relinquish those that your franchise rights. So I'll mm-hmm. take the short deal and then bet on myself and then see what. But again, it's all betting on himself. Yeah. If he takes a 3-year deal, guess what? Unless he just completely shits the bed, he's going to be 28 years old and a free agent again. And when you're coming off of that basis of a contract at $55 million, you know, that franchise tag is steep. It's pretty steep. And then the thing that people, you know, don't really talk about is the fact that all hits the cap. You don't have any flexibility to move money or do anything. So if that cap number, by the time we come back around 3 years hence, if it's $65 million and you decide to do that, all 65 of that hits the cap all at once. So yeah, from a player standpoint, obviously, you'd want the security of a $200 million plus guarantee. But Kirk Cousins shows you, I mean, that franchise thing, and Dak too, shows you the franchise thing. If you can stay healthy, it's not all that bad. It can work out in your favor. If you end up an unrestricted free agent, they decide to tag you twice and then you end up an unrestricted free agent at 30 or 32 years old, you know, the floodgates, you know, then they, you know, like Jerry had to pay him, because what you can't do is let it become a bidding war with the Cowboys and the Giants and the Raiders all bidding for a Dak Prescott in the open market. Who knows what that number would have ended up being if he was allowed to negotiate. If it's 60 now, I could easily see that could have been $70 million if he gets to the open market and it's just, you know, he's able to go to the highest bidder. It's just crazy. So I hope you're right. And I hope that cooler heads prevail and that they just go ahead and take care of this dude, because he has done nothing not to be taken care of. He's been the good soldier. He's single-handedly saved the 22 draft. You know, I don't know if we get to, you know, 2 NFC championships and a Super Bowl. You know, obviously, I believe, you know, and you might disagree, I thought that Jimmy thing had ran its course. I mean, that was done. And then once the trade thing flamed out, you know, I don't know where they would have been if Brock didn't hit. So you got to reward that, I believe.
Yeah, he kind of saved them in a way, yeah. Right? But then, you know, Jimmy's out there during practice throwing to water boys or whatever. And then Trey gets hurt and then Jimmy has to play. And then it gives Brock the opportunity to be the number 2. So all of those things was kind of weird how all of that happened.
It really was. And then, you know, how we got the revisionist reports from Mike Silver that Kyle has said during his first training camp that Brock was the best player. But then, you know, like you just said, when Trey got hurt, they didn't go directly to Brock. They went to Jimmy. So if he was, you know, he did not, if even if if Kyle said those words, he clearly didn't have the courage of his conviction to just bypass Jimmy to go to Brock when he had the opportunity to. So yeah. Again, that you know, that's neither here nor there at this point. I just think that I think I don't see any reason not to be in the Brock business. I just don't. I just, you know, at whatever the cost. And it doesn't sound like his team is being unreasonable with the number. I mean, you know, I saw somebody online talking crazy. Not six at $65 million. That's nuts. He shouldn't be the highest paid quarterback in the league. But right there in that $55 million range seems like that's the sweet spot. I wouldn't take less. Again, I'd be even stronger. I'm not taking less average value than Trevor Lawrence. That's crazy. Why would I do that? But what has Trevor Lawrence done to make me? If you're Brock Purdy and his team, okay, Parag, make the argument. What the hell has Trevor Lawrence done to deserve to be paid better than I am? Stop it. You just, there's no argument for that. So,
well, you know what the 49ers would say, that the Jaguars are just idiots. That's what they would say.
Well, I mean, and I guess that's not the craziest argument in the world, but you know, it's like, you know, you're a homeowner. Hey man, if that's what the market bears, if that's what the comp is, if the neighbor next door just sold his house for $3 million, you might not think my house is worth $3 million, but guess what? The market says that it is. And I guess you could say in return that the guy that bought that house for $3 million is just nuts. Yeah. So what does that have to do with me? Right. So, but I mean, that is just the, that's the push and pull of negotiations, I guess.
As the great Fat Joe once said, yesterday's price is not today's, price.
For real. For real. I just, you know, I hope they get it done. Cause I think more so than anything, and again, it's not my money, so, you know, it's Jez's money, but I would think that a few percentage points would be in exchange for training camp peace would be worth it to me. If it was my money, I would be willing to pay a premium to get everybody in on time and have it be kumbaya and training camp with everybody, not to get all the consternation out the way after what we've gone through the past three off seasons. I mean, yeah. it's just, I can't imagine that we'll be on the eve of the season again and we're trying to get George and Fred and Brock signed. That would just be complete mismanagement in my mind.
Yeah. All right. We're going to be back again at some point this weekend. We'll have to figure out our schedules. We'll have to take a look at the news that's coming out of the draft. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Is just those 3 days, or do they also have stuff on Sunday? It's just those 3 days, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Good. So we'll figure it out this weekend. We'll get together one more time to kind of summarize everything. But it was good to be back. Good to be back and do this. I got to get my reps back in with my Niners because it's Warriors playoffs and the Giants are in the first month of the season. But what do you think, Warriors, Houston? What's your prediction here?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. I would expect a better effort from the Rockets. I just fundamentally don't think that they have a solution for the fact that they can't make shots. They don't have anybody who can get buckets easily. So the big thing is maybe if they turn up their defensive intensity and, you know, force us into a bunch of turnovers and then they turn it into a track meet, the Warriors could be in trouble. Yeah. But if we keep playing rock fight in the half court, I don't think they can beat us. Yep. I just don't.
I agree. Even these 24-second shot clock violations are like, yeah, it's a turnover, but it's ball out.
It's a win.
You guys up top, we get back on defense.
Great.
So, all right. Thanks to Rod. Thanks to Ruler of the Red Zone for giving us their prediction. I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you this weekend. One more show. Peace out.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.